What if everything you believe about yourself is a carefully constructed illusion? The you that seems to peer out from behind your eyes, that voice in your head narrating your life, might be nothing more than a sophisticated mental fabrication. This provocative premise forms the foundation of waking up, where science and spirituality converge to explore consciousness itself. Unlike traditional spiritual texts shrouded in mysticism, this journey bridges contemplative wisdom with neuroscientific rigor, offering a secular approach to spirituality that resonates deeply in our post-religious yet spiritually hungry culture. Our minds constitute our entire existence, shaping every experience, relationship, and ultimately determining our quality of life. Most of us chase external achievements, believing they'll finally allow us to be happy. Yet this pursuit often misses a fundamental truth. We're all seeking a path back to the present moment. How we pay attention largely determines our experience, a claim made by contemplatives for millennia and increasingly supported by science. Yet most of us spend our lives lost in thought, barely noticing the constant stream of mental chatter coloring our perception. We're like people standing before a magnificent sunset, completely absorbed in thoughts about dinner plans or workplace conflicts, missing the very experience we're having. Consider this: when you're fully engaged in the present, whether during intense exercise, creative flow, or intimate connection, suffering temporarily ceases. These moments reveal that our normal consciousness might be severely limited, preventing us from recognizing the deeper nature of our minds. The spiritual journey isn't about accepting supernatural claims on faith, but exploring consciousness directly in the laboratory of your own experience. Consciousness remains science's greatest enigma. As philosopher Thomas Nagel famously asked, "What is it like to be a bat?" highlighting that consciousness fundamentally involves subjective experience. Either the lights are on or they aren't. While you're aware of reading these words, you remain oblivious to the trillions of electrochemical events in your brain. As experience, you are consciousness and its contents, not a collection of atoms. How subjective experience emerges from matter remains one of existence's deepest mysteries. The split brain phenomenon challenges our notion of a unified self. When the corpus callosum connecting the brain's hemispheres is severed, two independent consciousnesses emerge, each with distinct memories, learning processes, and experiences. This division disproves the concept of an indivisible self or soul. Despite the unconscious mind's importance, consciousness is what ultimately matters. It forms the substance of every experience we have or hope for, whether pain, joy, or revelation. On the shore of the Sea of Galilee, I experienced a profound shift in consciousness. Despite the heat and crowds, a feeling of peace descended into blissful stillness, silencing my thoughts. My sense of being a separate self, an I or me, completely vanished. The scene remained unchanged, but I no longer felt separate from it or felt I was peering out from behind my eyes. Only the world remained. What makes you the same person across time? The split brain phenomenon and teleportation thought experiments challenge our notion of identity. If you were duplicated on Mars before your Earth body was destroyed, would you truly travel or simply be replaced by a copy? Psychological continuity, not physical continuity, is what matters. Ordinary survival from moment to moment mirrors destruction and replication. Looking closely at your mind reveals the self as an illusion. Not that people don't exist, but that the feeling of being a thinker inside one's head is a mental fabrication. We constantly talk to ourselves, rehearsing the past, anticipating the future, narrating the present, creating unnecessary suffering. When a pipe burst in my home, the physical problem needed attention, but my suffering came purely from thoughts about it. Every moment offers a choice between calm response or unnecessary suffering. Research shows our minds wander nearly half our waking hours, correlating with unhappiness even during pleasant thoughts. This wandering corresponds to activity in the default mode network, DMN, brain regions active during idle moments and self-representation, but quiet during focus tasks. Meditation practices produce measurable brain changes, reduced DMN activity, increased gray matter thickness, enlarged corpus callosum and hippocampi, and potential protection against aging. These changes improve pain tolerance, stress management, immune function, and emotional regulation. Spiritual practice presents a paradox. Pursuing freedom from the self reinforces the self's perceived existence. Two traditional paths address this: gradual ascent through structured techniques and sudden realization that consciousness is inherently free of self. The Dzogchen tradition offers a middle way, recognizing that glimpsing selflessness is merely the beginning of sustained practice, as illustrated when a woman claiming complete freedom from thought quickly faltered when challenged to demonstrate this state. The spiritual path raises complex questions about authority and expertise. Unlike physical skills with visible progress, spiritual advancement is harder to measure, creating opportunities for both wisdom and exploitation. The guru-disciple dynamic holds unique potential for both benefit and harm, as teachers claim to guide the fundamental art of living. Since spiritual practice aims to dissolve ego attachments, even questionable behaviors can be framed as teachings, with students' moral objections dismissed as attachments to overcome. Consider Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, a gifted teacher who abused his position through alcoholism and student mistreatment. His successor continued this misconduct, having unprotected sex with followers while HIV positive, resulting in death. The belief in one's enlightenment can override basic moral boundaries. Yet, like marriage, an institution valuable despite its failures, the guru-disciple relationship can be profoundly beneficial when proper. Many, including myself, have gained deep insights through sustained work with spiritual teachers. The journey of awakening is intensely practical, beginning with recognizing how our suffering stems from identifying with thought. When we believe we are our thoughts, we become prisoners of our mental narratives. A single criticism ruins our day, a future worry steals our present. Meditation provides a systematic way to break this identification. By training attention to rest in the present, noticing sensations, emotions, and thoughts as they arise, we discover the background awareness that witnesses all experience. This awareness has no preferences, history, or agenda. It simply knows what appears. The most direct path involves recognizing consciousness itself, not its contents, but the knowing quality that illuminates all experience. This recognition can happen anytime, whether during meditation, walking, or conversation. The fruits of this recognition are profound: freedom from unnecessary suffering, natural compassion arising from dissolved self-other boundaries, and a deep sense of being at home regardless of circumstances. This isn't passive resignation, but engaged presence, responding to life without the burden of a contracted self. Turn attention back on itself to discover what's been here all along, the boundless awareness that is your true nature. Here lies genuine freedom, not from life's challenges, but from the suffering we create through thought identification.